One of my lifelong heroes, a 20-year congressman, worked with Ronald Reagan to fight abortion at a federal level. This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Reverend Bob Enyart, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me seven simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven
words? And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan. That was Bob Dornan, U.S. Congressman, fought for life for many years. We appreciate him and are thrilled with his endorsement for our video, Focus on the Strategy.
One morning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
I'm Doug McBurney, and I do not want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about politics. I've had enough.
All right. Well, Doug, there's plenty happening in the world.
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
That we could talk about other things.
Well, when I was with you on Tuesday, I remember I started out the show threatening to make a bold prediction.
Yeah, and I thought it was about the caucus, and it wasn't. It was about something more important.
Something far more important, and that would be the Denver Broncos versus the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling beat up this week. Because all of the sports announcers who beat up Tebow, and they came around when he was on that winning streak,
right.
And now they've all fallen down, they're back to their same old routine.
He can't play
and all of that.
Rush Limbaugh was asked to predict, but why don't you tell us your prediction?
Well, the Denver Broncos will defeat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whoa.
Yes. I think that when you're in a position like the Broncos are in right now, football is a very emotional game. How else can you explain that the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Green Bay Packers? That should have not have happened, right?
Right.
But it's an emotional game, and I think the Broncos are going to have the emotional edge.
And Tebow only wins when he has to.
That seems to be true.
Is that true or is that not true?
It seems to be true.
He wins when he has to. And since they basically had the AFC championship locked up, they unfortunately, they didn't have to win the last three games.
They didn't have to win.
Right. Well, now they have to win or the season is over.
That's right. It's time to go home if they don't win.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm annoyed with all these sports writers and commentators.
Yeah.
They're writing off a guy. They're saying he can't play in the NFL. He hasn't even played a whole season.
Yeah.
He hasn't even, he's practically a rookie for crying
out. And he's already set so many records. He's beat John Elway's early records.
Yeah.
Right. So there's something. In fact, Rush Limbaugh was asked to predict the outcome of the game.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, this is a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And he was asked if he'd be here in Denver for the game. In fact, I think it's one of those setup calls. Remember Dan's bake sale?
Oh, I remember Dan's.
That was a setup call.
That was.
I love the bake sale. We went.
I feel so used. I was there.
Rush mentioned our show, Bob Enyart Live, on his program because we organized the caravan going from a competing Denver radio station up to Dan's bake sale in Fort Collins. And Rush got a kick out of that. He mentioned that on the same show when he said the chef in New Orleans from his favorite restaurant was going to go and bake pastries.
Oh, wow. Well, it was obviously inevitable that our paths were going to cross, Bob. It was inevitable.
Oh, because you...
At the time,
at the bake sale.
Yeah, and I was not a Christian. I wasn't even a person that you would probably allow into your home.
But you were a person of interest.
I was a person.
You had potential.
I had some interest. I drove up to Dan's bake sale.
A diamond in the rough.
I drug my wife up there, and she had no idea
what was going on.
Why would you possibly want to do this?
You remember that I called Dan's wife.
Yeah?
I called her minutes after her husband got off the air with Rush.
Oh, really?
I called KOA and said, I'm with another radio station. I need the contact information for Dan in Fort Collins.
Wow.
And they gave me his home phone number. That wouldn't happen today. But that was back in the Middle Ages.
That was before identity theft, radio. Right?
Yeah. So on the air, I called and I talked to Dan's wife on the air.
Wow.
And I said that I host the Denver talk show, and we were planning on coming up to Fort Collins for Dan's bake sale.
Uh-huh.
And she said, "Whose bake sale?" Said, "Your husband. You're married to Dan, right?" And she said, "Yeah." "He wants Rush Limbaugh's newsletter?" "Yeah." "Well,
yeah.
He's having a bake sale so he could pay for the newsletter, and we're coming up, and I just wanted to get some of the details."
Oh, really?
Anyway, Rush mentioned that on the show.
Cool.
But he had a prediction, and I think it was a setup call. It was, you know, Jim from Denver, and no one from Denver has gotten through on Rush's show in 15 years
because
it's tape delayed.
Right, that's right. We're tape delayed in Denver, yeah. So.
And so asked if Rush would be at the game.
Yeah.
And the caller said the media hates Tim Tebow because of his faith. And if the only way they hate him more, Rush, is if they had a photo of him standing next to you. And of course, Rush enjoyed that.
Yeah. But did he make it? Did he have the nerve to make a prediction about his beloved Pittsburgh Steelers?
He did not predict that Pittsburgh would win.
No.
But he came close.
Mm.
But he left it open.
Yeah.
And he said anything could happen, and that's your point.
Anything could happen.
And it could. And Tebow wins when he needs to.
Yeah. And Brian Dawkins might be back. Brian Dawkins is, you know, Tebow's the left hand and Brian's the right hand.
All right.
And they're both Christians.
Mm.
Brian Dawkins, remember when he first came to town? We had a big to-do on the show.
Mm.
Because he has a foundation that's dedicated to spreading the gospel. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And he hurt his neck.
It's all fun, and it's brought our family back to watching the NFL.
Yeah.
We had not watched since Denver Bible Church was planted. Now, we just had our 12th anniversary.
That's right. Congratulations. Right?
You were there.
I was there.
Sunday morning, Denver Bible Church, 12 years as a local fellowship, the little church that could.
Yeah.
But since then, since December 1999, that's the last time I watched the Broncos.
Yeah.
And imagine all the heartbreak and misery I missed. It was perfect timing.
You probably live longer for it. I lost interest in football when Ray Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens, he was in a parking lot with his buddies, and there was a dead guy who had been beaten to death, and his blood was on all three, Ray Lewis and his two buddies, and he was not convicted. And I thought, you know, I can't take this anymore. I have no interest in this.
There have been crimes like this, professional sports players, even here in Denver, a drive-by shooting at a club a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a symptom of our godless culture and the lawlessness that prevails.
Mm.
And when thou shalt not murder is not the prevailing legal authority, then you have a lawless nation.
Yeah. And that's
there are some pro-lifers who say, well, we don't want the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade, because we are a nation of laws.
Yeah.
They make excuses for the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So we point out to them that when do not murder is set aside, you are a lawless nation. Mm-hmm. You're not, don't pat yourself on the back, think you're a nation of laws.
No, doesn't work. Hey, speaking of the law, can I bounce this justice story off you?
Sure.
Because now I haven't given this to you. This is cold. I'm throwing this on you cold just to try to trip you up here.
I read the news, though. I may have
You may have seen it. This is out of Somerset County, New Jersey, by the way.
I'm from New Jersey. Yep.
So a man who fatally shot another man with a bow and arrow is not going to be charged with a crime. So let me describe, to the best of our knowledge, what happened.
Mm.
So a Somerset, New Jersey man who's not identified in the story, he confessed to shooting a guy named Tony Bittinger on October 10th. Now, Mr. Bittinger was found shot through the chest with an arrow near the front steps of this guy's house.
An arrow.
An arrow, I said. Mm. A bow and arrow. Okay.
Doug, as soon as you got done with this, our kids received some interesting Christmas gifts.
Oh.
This year.
Really?
It's relevant to this story, so go ahead.
I want to know if the authorities are doing the right thing here in not charging this unidentified fella.
Yeah.
The unidentified man, Mr. Bittinger, came to his door, and the man told him to leave repeatedly. And the man was threatening him with Mr. Bittinger was threatening this man with a heavy wooden club, threatening him.
Mm.
When Mr. Bittinger attempted to come up the stairs with a club in his hand, the man shot him in the chest with an arrow.
Wait.
And Mr. Bittinger died there on the scene.
What did he do? Run and get a crossbow in his den? He was standing at his front door with a bow and arrow.
Well, here's the twist. Okay. Yeah. I think that the fella who fired the arrow knew there was trouble coming.
Right.
Because Mr. Bittinger had been romantically involved with the man's wife and had made several threatening phone calls to the man before driving up to his home and confronting him.
Doug, you know how the FBI tracks drug-related crimes, drug-related murder?
Oh, yeah.
We should track adultery-related crime, fornication-related crime, homosexuality-related crime, and we would find out that it's through the roof that sexual immorality is a major cause of assault and of murder.
Yeah,
major cause. And that's one of the reasons God said, thou shalt not,
because
it destroys people.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like this was a threat, a credible threat to this man's life.
He was carrying a club in his hand.
The guy who's dead.
Yeah, the guy who's dead had a heavy wooden club.
Yeah.
And
Now, you don't have carte blanche just to kill someone when there's a threat of a crime. But as God presents it in the Bible, there's an escalation. And when it's hard to assess the extent of the threat, and it is a credible threat to life or limb, you can use lethal force. So it seems to me appropriate.
Okay. I wasn't sure because it sounds like it was in the daytime, and it sounds like the fellow was on his way up the stairs with the club. He wasn't like within
striking distance. You know what they say with the Make My Day law?
Yeah.
That you got to drag him into your house.
Well, that's the whole point of the story is New Jersey has changed what they call their castle doctrine. You're allowed to defend
Colorado, we call it the Make My Day law.
The Make My Day law. Well, in New Jersey now, you no longer have to drag the guy into your house to keep yourself out of trouble.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, that's appropriate because that's somewhat of an arbitrary line.
It really is.
Yeah. You look at the threat, the nature of the threat.
Yeah. Okay. And see, the system works in New Jersey?
System works.
Yeah, okay.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And we only say, see, the system works when a bad guy gets killed.
Right. That's what
we never say it otherwise.
No.
If some murderer is beat to death in prison.
Yeah.
That's when you say, see, the system works.
Absolutely.
When the criminal justice system renders a verdict that is in your favor, you never say, see, the system works. Never. That would be a big mistake. In fact, Doug, I've won court cases, big, high-profile cases.
Yes, yes.
And I've had the media come up to me and say, so, is that a victory? Which counts as, like, the stupidest question they could ask. But I always say, no. It's a random event in a mindless system.
I think that's more
even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
So, no, it's not proof that the system works just because I win.
No.
No. So, Doug, whenever you hear advice from, let's say, a Democratic administration.
Okay.
Do you just assume it's going to be good advice?
From the Democrats?
Just automatically assume it?
No, I would assume the opposite.
Well, we don't assume it either, but in this holiday season, the public was advised to rethink giving our kids toy guns for Christmas.
Oh.
So Cheryl and I thought it through.
Okay.
We thought, you know, we disagree virtually always. Knee-jerk disagreement.
Yeah.
But in this case, they have a point.
Really?
Yeah, so we bought our kids real guns for Christmas.
Whoa, yeah?
And they got 22s and ammunition and a bow and arrow.
No kidding.
Arrows.
Oh, that is awesome.
You know, they get their rifle merit badge for Boy Scouts and their archery badge.
Boy Scouts still does that?
Oh, yeah. And, Doug, to get your Boy Scout rifle merit badge, you've got to be good. You don't just take the gun and shoot it. You got to hit the target and do a good job of it.
Well, I hope so.
And so, right.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's a real accomplishment. And so we thought our kids needed rifle 22s so that they could practice efficiently. And so we got them real guns for Christmas.
Well, what'd you get them? What kind? Do you know what kind?
Yeah, 22 long rifle.
Marlin?
With a scope.
Yeah.
And
is it the one that holds like 20 bullets in the tube? Those are so awesome.
With hollow point ammunition.
Oh, well, I never did hollow point ammunition. You guys are serious.
I asked my wife. I said, honey, why did you get hollow point bullets?
Yeah.
I mean, and she said, it was the best value. I thought that was funny.
So you might want to advise her that hollow points are not the best for target shooting.
No, and I don't know why she got plus P plus.
Plus P plus, what is that?
That's police ammo, police grade.
Oh, wow.
It's against the law.
Great.
She didn't get that. I'm only joking.
No, right
but she did
tree.
Get a hollow point. But not at REI. We couldn't get it at REI. You know why?
No.
They don't sell anything that might kill a fish or an animal. No arrows, no guns, no fishing poles.
You can't get a gun at REI?
No lures.
Get out of here.
That's just bizarre.
So only rock climbing gear.
So we go to Big Five.
They discriminate against rocks.
Right.
They don't care if you step on the rocks, stick spikes in the rocks.
Well, some liberals do. Rocks have rights.
Well, we shouldn't give the folks. They might now go down and pick it at REI.
Yeah, right.
We don't want to give them any ideas.
Right.
But I can tell you, I had loads of fun as a kid, many an afternoon, with my Marlin 22. I believe it held 17 rounds, semi-automatic.
Wow.
And you could fire it as fast as you could pull the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, I still have that rifle right now in my home.
Yeah.
Yeah. One in the chamber, the whole deal.
So we're all for gun control.
Absolutely.
Keen eye and a steady hand, all for it.
That's right. Breath control, squeeze, don't pull, right? Mm-hmm. The trigger, you squeeze, don't pull, all of that.
Very
important
good.
For gun control.
All right. So this guy killed someone threatening him.
Yeah.
And it seems that it's appropriate that he is not charged with a crime.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, that's good. And in New Jersey, nonetheless. And I think you put New Jersey in the handbasket years ago.
Going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. Who would have thunk it?
They got it right. All right. Now, I've got another story where a mother has swerved into the right decision. This is out of Louisville, Kentucky.
All right.
A mother has her son in the government school there, and she's decided to pull him out because he was stuffed into a duffel bag by the teacher for misbehaving. So the kid's misbehaving. The teacher zips the kid up in a duffel bag.
This is from our What's a Liberal to Do file.
Yeah, I think
What's a Liberal to Do?
Yeah.
Liberals get so frustrated because kids are so ornery. They're so often brats that they just are beside themselves because they don't know about discipline and instilling respect. They got to trick the kid or outwit the kid, and often they just give up.
Yeah, or in this case, she ended up physically restraining the kid. That was her only solution, was to zip him in a duffel bag. Now, listen to what the mom says.
Yeah.
Sandra Baker, there in the Kentucky government school, she's now going to homeschool her 9-year-old son, Christopher.
Whoa, this is a good story.
Well, wait a minute.
This is cause for celebration.
Almost. The story's not. I told you that she had swerved into the right decision.
She swerved into
it. Yeah, because she says she won't send her son back to the government school
until
the teacher responsible is fired and the staff is better trained.
Well, okay, so it's not the greatest story, but they're not going to fire the teacher.
No, I doubt it.
Because what's a liberal to do? There was a whole rash of stories like this where teachers were handcuffing kids under the stairway.
Uh-huh.
There was a firm that was selling little incarceration cells for kids in public schools.
Like a doggy carrier you take on a plane?
Right. What's a liberal to do? I mean, when you have if you're a liberal parent and you have a 13-year-old and you say, you got to go to bed, it's 10 o'clock, and the kid says no, what are you going to do, force me? What are you going to do? I've heard stories of liberal parents, Doug, who put furniture in front of the kid's bedroom, and the kid goes out the window. So,
doesn't surprise me,
No, of course not. What's a liberal to do when they have a jihad against spanking? So something that God says is so good, so right, so healthy for raising happy kids.
Yeah.
And liberals turn what's good into evil. They call evil good and good evil. Mm. And then, of course, the ones who pay the greatest price are the kids raised in the midst of all the insanity.
Yeah, because, you know, if you get to the point where you have a 12 or 13-year-old kid and they say no when you tell them to go to bed, you have really blown it.
You've blown it
as a parent. Yeah. You've ruined your kid.
Doug, we have so much fun. Cheryl and I, we feel like we are living the greatest time in our life.
Yeah.
Because we have 7 boys, 4 are grown. They're all loving and respectful and helping. But the 3 who are still at home, we have so much fun with these kids, age 10, 12, and 14.
Yeah.
Doug, I don't think between the 3 of them, the young ones, also the old ones, but the 3 young ones, I don't think they've ever been disrespectful to me ever, as in not one time. Said to me, no, or forget it, or what do you think? I'm not saying they always obey perfectly.
No.
But as far as blatant disrespect, I'd say never.
No, I hadn't thought about that, but neither have mine.
Right? No. You have a beautiful family.
I got three daughters, 10, 2, and 4.
10, 2, and 4.
The Dr. Pepper girls.
Doug, 10, 2, 4. We use the train up a child method of training and discipline, and we have a sermon called Tyrant Dad. We have a DVD series on raising godly children, and we offer all of that to our listeners at a price to help us stay on the air. But there are so many biblical principles that are so easy to apply. If only we're humble enough to say we want to know what does God say about raising kids and we want to do it.
Amen.
And then you do it and you have a wonderful time with your kids.
I know. When we found out we were going to have our first child, I looked at it as, wow, I'm going to be handed this incredible responsibility. I really need to find out what God wants me to do here.
Yeah.
And it's worked out wonderfully with that book and the Bible and
isn't it exciting?
Fellowship.
Doug, we have a church member who moved to Colorado from northern Indiana. And when he was in northern Indiana, he knew a family, a homeschool family.
Yeah.
And he said to me recently, he said, in my entire life, the only kids I knew that were really happy and respectful, for the most part, had the last name of Briggs. And that, you remember?
Yeah, I remember Adam, Karen, the whole crew.
Yeah,
awesome.
What a beautiful family. And he said, that was until I moved to Arvada and met the families at Denver Bible Church.
Wow.
And he said, so many wonderful kids that are happy and that are fun to be around as adults.
Yeah.
It's just such a blessing.
It's a different experience, especially if you ever take your kids to a McDonald's play place and you witness what's happening in the tortured lives of many poor parents out there.
You feel awful. So bad, and you want to help.
Yeah.
And on rare occasions, I'm able to find a way to offer some help to a stranger whose kids are in meltdown. But generally, it's so difficult because the parents will take such great offense.
Oh, I know.
And so it's because of that a lot of parents don't get the lifeline they need because they're so easily offended and put off.
Yeah. Usually the best I can get off is I say, hey, has that kid ever had a spanking? And the mom will say, no. And I'll say, well, it really shows. Right. You should think about it.
Yeah.
And then they take offense.
Yeah, they do take offense. You got to be
creative. You know what I do, though, too? Speaking of creativity, if I see that a mom is screaming, Kevin, come down here. Kevin, come down here. And she does that for about 3 minutes, and Kevin's just ignoring her. He's up in the hidden area of the play place, and he's playing. What I'll do is and my three are up there. I'll say, Nicole, Zoe, Lexi, come down here. You know, they're down there and they're at my side in under 30 seconds.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have to say anything further. Just to show her that it's possible.
Right.
Give her some hope.
I can't imagine saying to the kids, it's time to go to bed, and having them not start to get ready or say no or anything like that.
No, doesn't happen.
I just can't imagine it. And we haven't spanked our kids in years because we took the advice of wise, godly men and women who've raised kids and grandkids, and we've applied it, and it works.
Amen.
It's so rewarding. One of our kids, we've been involved in Scouts for like 6 years, every Monday night for 6 years, and hockey for 5 years, a gazillion hockey games.
Seems like 10 years.
And snowboarding. We're as active as could be. And one of our kids, a coach came up to me this week and said, you know, Bob, I don't know how you guys do it, but, you know, talking about one of our kids, has never shown evidence of a bad disposition, not one time, not ever.
Wow.
And he said, we've raised kids. I don't know how do you do it. And I said, we're a homeschool Christian family. We go by train up a child. And he said, well, you know what? It works.
Amen.
Because, wow, what a blessing.
Wow.
Well, he didn't use the word blessing.
Oh, so he's see, you don't only do regular evangelism, you do lifestyle evangelism.
Lifestyle
as well,
evangelism,
right?
Sure.
The whole package
right.
is available.
Well, that's what we should do.
Clan.
So, all right.
Speaking of biblical principles.
Guns for Christmas. Yeah.
I'll be doing that next year.
All right.
Now that I do. I will.
Yeah.
I want to run this by you because this is something you know about.
Oh.
But a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are fans of Thomas Jefferson. A lot of Christians are fans of Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Bible that's going on display at the Smithsonian Institution.
His Bible is going to be there?
The Jefferson Bible will be on display. So Christians are all out there going, oh, that's great. I knew Jefferson had a Bible.
It's not, right. And it's not like the Gutenberg Bible, which Cheryl and I have seen at the New York Public Library at 42nd Street and Broadway, the main. They've had that there, and that was neat to see. This is almost like a satanic Bible.
Well, it's the entire New Testament, but it's only 84 pages long.
How did they squeeze that? What did he do, micro printing or
they say that he took a razor blade and he cut out, because back then he couldn't cut and paste and edit. Yeah. He took a razor blade and he cut out all the parts in the Bible. This story says he left out any elements that he could not support through reason or that he believed were later embellishments, including the resurrection. He cut the resurrection out of the New Testament. Thomas Jefferson.
Doug, it's so much worse even than that. And that's bad, because with that, you're going to hell.
Straight to hell with
Jet Rockets. If you reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you say Jesus Christ was never raised from the dead, if you argue that, you're going to hell. Because the resurrection of Christ, the New Testament says that if we believe in Christ, in his resurrection, we shall be saved. Mm. So Thomas Jefferson went to hell, unless he repented with his last breath.
Yeah, highly unlikely.
But other than that, he went to hell. We did a show back about 6 years ago titled, Don't Tell Kids Thomas Jefferson Was a Godly Man. You could find it just at kgov.com/Jefferson.
Pretty simple.
Pops right up, along with a photo of the Jefferson Bible. And Doug, let me tell you what else Thomas Jefferson said.
Okay, and then I'll tell you one more thing the Smithsonian's doing.
Well, go ahead.
No.
All right.
Need to hear this.
He said that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the men who wrote the four Gospels, were feeble minds and groveling authors.
Whoa.
That's what Thomas Jefferson said. He cut out everything about Jesus Christ as a person, what Christ did for us. He cut that out. Of course, the virgin birth, Christ's sinless life, his resurrection, he rejected it all. And he said this, he said that it was as easy as distinguishing diamonds from a dunghill.
Is he calling the New Testament a dunghill?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the implication. I can't believe that.
Yeah. That was Thomas Jefferson. He hated Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, now, I don't know if the Smithsonian is going to include any of the quotes you just rattled off there, but they are releasing a commemorative full-color edition of a pocket-sized version of the 84-page Thomas Jefferson New Testament, and they're going to call it the Jefferson Bible. They'll probably leave the quotes you just
Anton
said.
Anton Sandor LaVey, he wrote the Satanic Bible.
That's right, Anton
LaVey. Remember that?
Yeah.
And here, Thomas Jefferson, he put out the first edition of the Satanic Bible. Only 200 years early.
And the Smithsonian's going to make it available again.
Yeah. Ugh. All right. Don't tell kids Thomas Jefferson was a godly man. Doug McBurney, thanks for co-hosting.
Go Broncos!
Appreciate it. Go Tim Tebow. And tomorrow, Real Science Friday. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Amen.
God bless you.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore his wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.